This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, July 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. An expansion at West Elk Mine has been halted by a federal judge. KBNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Arch Coal, which operates the mine in Somerset, wants to build 6 miles of road and clear vegetation for drill pads on 1,700 acres of the Sunset Roadless Area east of the West Elk Wilderness. The company wants to use the exploratory wells to see if there's a viable coal seam to expand its mining operation. The Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service approved the company's expansion last year, and construction was set to start this week before the ruling halted the project. Kim Link is a spokeswoman for Arch Coal. She says the ruling won't impose any immediate changes at West Elk.
Coal mining requires complex long-term planning, and this rule complicates our efforts in that regard.
Officials with the U.S. Forest Service say they can't comment on active cases. Environmental law group Earth Justice represents the three conservation organizations, including Crested Butte-based High Country Conservation Advocates, that filed suit over the expansion. Ted Zukoski is an attorney with Earth Justice.
This decision was a well-reasoned decision by Judge Jackson. It points out the inconsistencies and deep flaws in the agency's failure to take a hard look at important environmental impacts.
In the ruling, the judge says the BLM and Forest Service failed to take into consideration the effects the expansion would have on climate change. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Things are different over at Bowie Mine No. 2, where the plans to expand are almost finalized. The BLM will be selling the expansion lease of almost 1,800 acres in Delta County later this month. The cost will be about $180,000, with an annual rent of about $5,000, and the state also gets an 8% royalty on all the coal that leaves that land. That can add up. The BLM reports last year the coal royalties in the state brought in $42 million. A court ruling about gun control may be only one step on a long, litigative process. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Last week, a district judge made a ruling in the lawsuit brought against Governor Hickenlooper regarding the recently passed gun control laws. Judge Krieger ruled in favor of Governor Hickenlooper. Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee was part of the group that sued.
First off, we believe that they're an infringement upon our Second Amendment right. Be like saying you could buy a car, but you can't purchase wheels for it. It limits what people could do with their firearms. So that was it in a nutshell. We also believe that they're going to be extremely difficult to enforce.
Sheriff McKee says that there's hundreds of thousands of high-capacity magazines in Colorado that are legal and will be impossible to enforce that law.
Also, we were very concerned that the requirement that you get a background check on all individuals was going to be very invasive on people's personal rights to purchase a firearm from a friend or for a father to give a firearm to his son or vice versa. And it was absolutely no way either one of these two laws were going to make Colorado a safer place to live, and we believe that that could be misleading to the citizens of Colorado.
The suit was financed by the Independence Institute, a libertarian-leaning think tank based in Denver.
Our attorney, through the Independence Institute, vows to continue the fight. He'll be submitting the paperwork in the next month or so to appeal this decision from this very low court to the Tenth Circuit, and if necessary, on up to U.S. Supreme Court.
For KBNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
In the wake of Colorado's primary elections, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the governor's race and analyzes the upcoming political season.
Joining us, we have Ivan Moreno, a reporter with the Associated Press, and Vic Vella with Colorado Community Media. Ivan, I know it's still early, but now that Republicans have officially chosen their candidate, Bob Beaupre beat three other contenders in a four-way primary. He's run for governor before, but still many think it will be a somewhat tough challenge for Hickenlooper.
Yeah, that's right. Even though Beaupre, in his previous candidacy in 2006, lost by 17 points to Bill Ritter, Republicans still very much viewed him as their strongest chance against Hickenlooper. And quite frankly, they sort of breathed a sigh of relief when it was Beaupre and not Tancredo, who a lot of Republicans were nervous that he might depress turnout and maybe affect other races like the U.S. Senate. Republicans will now begin to gear up and begin criticizing Hickenlooper on a few issues that we had expected for a bid. Gun restrictions that he signed into law last year, and also the fact that he granted an indefinite stay of execution to Nathan Dunlap, and he was convicted of killing four people at a Chuck E. Cheese in Aurora.
And Vic, how much do you think economic issues will play into this race? Hickenlooper has pulled pretty well recently. Our economy is rebounding, unemployment's lower. There are these controversial issues that a lot of voters aren't happy with regarding Hickenlooper, but the bigger economic picture is pretty favorable.
Yeah, it's the old Clinton line, you know, it's the economy, stupid. How much people care about the death penalty, how much they care about renewable energy mandates, the expansion of those mandates, things like that, they're important to a lot of people. But does it cover a wide swath of voters enough to flip an election when the economy is good? I don't know. After Beaupre won the nomination, Hickenlooper immediately talked about his economic record. At the same time, Beaupre, during his victory speech, said, the economy, you know, there's some people doing okay, there's some people doing good, but there's not enough people doing great. So Beaupre's not going to cede that issue to the governor.
I know you've been covering some of the state house races where control, especially in the state Senate, where Democrats only have a one-seat majority, is definitely going to be in play this November.
Yeah, there's three races I'm looking at in Jefferson County, or at least districts that encompass parts of Jefferson County. Senate District 16 with Senator Jeannie Nicholson, whose district includes Golden. Senate District 19 with Rachel Zenzinger includes Arvada and Westminster. And then Senate District 22 with Andy Kerr and Lakewood. Those are going to be huge races for the control of the Senate. And it's interesting because Republicans in those primaries, in the districts 19 and 22 primaries, picked the more conservative candidates that were backed by gun groups. Some political observers say there's no way in heck now that they're going to win those races because they're just two, quote unquote, extreme candidates for those districts. But then you talk to like a Dudley Brown of Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. He said, well, I don't think moderation serves us well. If moderation serves Republicans well, then we'd have a President Bob Dole and a President John McCain.
To Vic's point, I mean, this raises this question that Republicans, frankly, have been dealing for quite some time, and that's, are they nominating their best possible candidates? Or are they potentially nominating people who are conservative enough to win a primary, but maybe too conservative for independent voters in November? Going back to Beaupre's nomination, that's why a lot of Republicans were grateful that it wasn't Tancredo, because, again, they were a little nervous that perhaps he would be seen as too much of a controversial figure.
Thanks. That was Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Vic Vella with Colorado Community Media. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.